Welcome to the Latinx, Latine, and Social Work Podcast, the podcast where we feature people who have an amazing impact on the Latinx, Latine, and the Latino community. My name is Erica Sandoval. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the CEO and founder of Sandoval Collab and Latinx and Social Work, Inc. Each week, I'm joined by leaders in politics, community organizations, businesses, social justice warriors, and of course, our social workers. We use a mental health, wellness, and social justice lens to talk about issues that impact communities of color while amplifying the voices of individuals and organizations that are doing the work to advance community healing. We're making a space to celebrate our work and talk about what still needs to be done to strengthen our Latino, Latinx, Latine communities and provide them with resources and tools and tips to support them as they navigate the world. Enjoy the episode. This is going to be our podcast with Paula McMillan Perez. It is going to be a throwback, but also of this was then, this is now podcast to find out what have our authors been up to since they dropped Latinx and Social Work Volume 1. So I'm really excited to be here with one of our OGs. We like to call them the OGs. They named themselves. They want to make sure that they know that they're known as being the original brave souls that share their personal narratives in Latinx and Social Work Volume 1. And it's become an incredible movement for so many people to read stories and really feel validated for their own experiences and feel heard and seen. So today I have Paula McMillan Perez, who is a first generation Afro-Caribbean licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist, social work systems and workflow strategist. And she is the host of the Why Don't We Talk About This podcast. She has been working in the field for over 10 years with a diverse area of expertise serving all age groups with practice specializations in anxiety, ADHD, and trauma-informed practices. In addition, as well, she holds administrative specialization in quality improvement systems and workflow streamlining for mental health clinicians. I love that. You know how much we need that in our world. Thank you so much for being here, Paula.
Thank you for having me back. This conversation can go for 90 years. So good luck trying to fit it into a time frame.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? First, I just want to just shout you out. Thanks for all the things you've been doing. This has been so incredible for so many people that are following you and that are seeing you thrive and not just survive anymore. But just like, how have you been since you dropped the Latinx and Social Work Volume 1 with us? Like, what has happened since then? Just give me, like, in a nutshell, like, how have you been emotionally? And then we'll go to spiritually and then physically.
Okay, so emotionally, like I always used to say when people ask me that I was on a roller coaster, but this one was a little bit more curated because it opened up visibility to us as a collective, Volume 1 authors, and it really strengthened my emotional regulation because now I have a whole tribe of social work siblings that, believe it or not, y'all, we speak like every day, like our group chat be popping. But I think it really has helped me with kind of framing like what's coming up for me, because then now I have a space of people that really can identify, because we do such similar work, even though our populations at times mirror each other and at times don't. And it also has created a support network in terms of like logistical pieces, ethical dilemmas, like things that, yeah, you could go to mm-hmm. other people in the field, but this is so much more, it's a much more rich like conversation. And you don't have to, similar to like when you find your therapist, like you don't have to like explain certain things, you just get right to it. And I didn't realize how much I had missed that. So I feel like it's really given me a much more rich emotional connection. to the work, and also don't to not push down some of the emotions that are coming up for me that I feel might be difficult, because I know for sure I'm not by myself, and I have people I can be like, yo, so this is what's coming up for me,
I
and you know,
know.
just get that mini processing session in the moment, because sometimes none of y'all are available, but sometimes I get four of you at once and get everything that I need, and I love it. I absolutely love
Oh,
it.
you know what? It's definitely so personal, right? We didn't realize how much we needed till we got it. It's like being in a bad relationship, and then you break up with the person, and then you find the love of your life. And then you're like, damn, this is what a good relationship is like.
Yeah, and then
So
you're
we're
not
the
really sure, and you have to ask people, like, is this a green
it's just
flag?
normal. I love it. No, I love it. It's so true. I think all of us have done so amazing. And I just been watching you grow and shine and doing really amazing things. And it's true because we need validation and we need just check-ins with people that we trust and that we care about. I think what happened with this book is that we got to know each other a little bit differently because it was personal, right? It's our personal narrative. So it was personal and it became personal to us. So before the mindset, and probably still is in some areas, is that we are competing with each other for clients, for resources. Now we're really undoing that mindset and saying, no, this is a collective. We're amplifying each other and we know who to go to for what. And I love her and I adore him. And I want to be their friend because I like who they are. I get to know them on a different level because we shared that personal moment with each other, especially through our books and then more connections and community building through all of the events that we have been part of too, you know?
No, definitely. And I'm glad that you touched on that, because I used to have conversations with people about the fact that, you know, yes, we know that there are unfortunately low numbers of individuals who identify Latinx, Latina, Black, South Asian, like any community of color that is a mental health prof a licensed mental health professional. And when I would have conversations about, like, there aren't that many of us, so like we don't really need to be competing. Like, I specialize in ADHD and anxiety, because I have ADHD and anxiety. And it took me a long time to even be able to open up and say that. I only recently, over the last several years, have finally stopped masking it, because I have, and I'm 41. So it's just like having those conversations with people that's just like, oh no, like I could refer, or like, how do you do? And having that such close knit, like tight to the chest, like, I don't want to share with you how I do things, but I don't know how to say that respectfully. And it's like, I'm not trying to steal from you. So to be welcomed into a community like this one, where I don't even have to like break that down and wonder how it's going to be received. Like, I'm thinking about, you know, another co-author from my volume, Madeline. I said I had consultations for clients that just weren't a good fit for where my practice is right now, but I know that these are in her wheelhouse. And I'm like, hey, and you're looking for in person. They have an in-person location. They have tele, like, I can speak to that specifically. And I'm really big on not referring to people I don't know. So the fact that I can actually refer to people I know personally and professionally means a great deal to me. Like, even on my podcast, there are people there that I don't know, which is why I vet guests. I read their work, or I'll visit their website, or I'll ask certain questions, because if I don't have a sense of who you are and how you work, I don't feel comfortable referring, because I know how, I guess, particular I can be, and I want to be able to answer questions about people in my network, especially as it expands. And even say, you know what, I've met this person in this interaction. I don't know too much about their work. These are some questions that I would encourage you to ask if you decide that they may be a good fit for you. Because I just want it to be clear, because also we don't know what questions to ask depending on who we want to work with and why. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to have those conversations. And having a network like this is helpful, especially as you're starting a new business or you're adding a leg to that business, and you could reach out to folks who they've been in it and they get it. And it's just like, oh, girl, you don't even gotta break this down anymore. Like, here are some options for you.
It's so
So it's
true.
just, yeah, it's just everything. Like, it's not
It's,
just words, y'all. Like, it literally is everything.
I know it's so true. And you know what I also notice is that now we're building a directory. It's almost, and that has been my dream. I was like, I want to have just a directory that sits in people's websites that we're just partnering with each other. It's like that coalition building, that collective building. So we need to amplify each other's skill set and voices and for our community, because we love our community and we're serving them together. And so what have you been up to? I know we said emotionally, spiritually and physically. So let's get to that spiritual and then that physical piece. And then the last question is going to be, what are you doing now? What is happening in your life?
So spiritually, I feel like I have been kind of tapping into what else. So when I say what else, we culturally we are brought up and we learn about, cultural or spiritual practices that individuals in our community used to do, or grandma used to do, or great grandma, or they brought over. And sometimes we get lost in religion and confusing religion and spirituality, or rather organized religion, I would say. And as someone who was raised Roman Catholic, went to church, did several, I'm not going to tell y'all how many, but I did several sacraments, learning that you can take from different places and pieces and kind of make your own. So I had a guest on my podcast last year where she spoke about intuition and she spoke about tarot. Tarot is very trendy right now. Some people use it as part of like their self-care measure. And just having that conversation, I was like, okay, what else? Utilization of crystals, like how that links into spirituality. There are individuals who follow astrology that links into spirituality. So for me, just kind of opening myself up to what kind of like flows through me. And I think one of the things that I've also been able to identify is kind of like on the spiritual journey is a part of connecting my mental health to that, because there are things that have been, for lack of a better term, pushed down from all of the noise of life. And just like many people, my mental health was impacted, during quarantine and beyond. And as someone who also does this as their profession, it's just like, how can I ethically be treating people when I'm not well? So what
Caring
are
for
the
myself, right?
practices in which I can explore to identify not just how to work on my own personal healing, but also, connect it to like my spirit, to my culture, to my energy. So it is still something that I'm active with, and I'm proud to say, because those of us with ADHD, we pick things up and they just get left to the side. So this is something that I have been able to be consistent with, and I'm proud of where I've come to at this point in the journey, and I'm looking forward to it continuing.
What do you think about social workers, licensed social workers, clinical social workers, and then including these practices into when they're working with clients? What do you think of that? This is something that's been kind of like, because you see a lot of holistic coaches on Instagram and they're like becoming, the go-to people to go to, but they don't have the integration piece. They don't have that clinical piece. Not saying you all aren't great. You all amazing. Everyone has gifts, but we went to school to learn this field, right? The integration, the mind, the psychology piece, the social work piece. So how do you feel about social works integrating this stuff into their practices? Do you think we should, or do you think we shouldn't keep it separate?
I think we should, because prior to social work having a name and a face, and and everything is political, but I'm not going to go down that road. We are, I believe, as people, we are a product of our culture, how our the identity, the intersectionality, like how all of these things contribute to who we are as a being. And unfortunately, through generations, a lot of that has been lost. Some will say it's due to colonialization. Some will say that it was due to several different factors that have led us to where we are now. If we do the research, like we dig into the data, and sometimes that data is talking to grandma. That sometimes that data is
Ancestral,
talking, talking
the
to
wisdom keepers.
Yeah, those storytellers who have tried, even though some of us haven't listened, to sit us down and tell us stories of our family, of our culture, of our belief system, of our traditional medicines, of our food as medicine.
Oh
I
my
think it's
God,
really
your story
important.
was about like Sankofa, you know? Yes, medicine.
Yeah, and a lot of times we don't recognize that. And even thinking about now, years in working in schools, parents are like, well, I don't want my child on medication. And hearing that I'm the first person that tells them they don't have to do that, like that's a problem. And not because I'm saying you do or you don't, but there aren't that many that I've come across in my personal life, practitioners that will tell you, okay, this isn't something you want to do. You have options. These are what these options look like. Here are some people you can go to. And a lot of times, the reason for that is because insurance isn't reimbursing for these practitioners because it doesn't fall underneath that traditional medical industrial guise. So it gets pushed to the side. And those of us who may be more aligned or have a general interest in how something can speak to my mental health, my physical health, and my spiritual health would may not necessarily have access to that because who's teaching into it if it's not coming from our own communities?
Oh my gosh, I love it. So you know I want to surprise you then. I'm gonna bring out my cards real quick. And we're
Do
gonna just do one just for like an intentional, like for our year. You know,
Okay.
think of what you want. Let me grab them. I got my cards.
Ooh.
These were a gift from another clinical social worker. I'm gonna shout her out today, Camilla Pastor, who I met last year. During one of my events, and she's become a good sister, an hermana. And she's a psychedelic therapist and a healer. And so she gifted me these cards, and they're magical spirit oracle, the brilliance of you. So we're going to just pull one up and see, you know, what comes up for you today. And then
I'm
I'll pull
with
one up
it.
for me, okay? Because, hey, this is the future. This is like we're manifesting for new year, right?
Absolutely.
So. So we're going to do this real nice and easy. So you hear the cards, they're beautiful. Look, they're like
No, they really
lined with
are.
gold. They're gorgeous. So
Those
think
are
of what
beautifully curated.
they're really beautiful. So think of what you want, and we're going to do a nice, you know, just one, maybe one question or one intention or you know, this is like a secret of the soul. Okay. So we're going into the spiritual. So let me tell you a little bit about the cards. The Oracle deck is spiritually endowed with the intention of connecting you with your own magic and with spirit self, defined as the divine power that exists within ourselves, our existence, the universe, and our experience of that universe. The connection is the state of being awakened, aligned with, and are reminded of it. Okay. So the numbers influence energy, and the deck has 44 faith, support, and protection cards divided into the four traditional elements of nature: fire, earth, air, and water. And the fifth element is understood here to be spirit or the elements of magic. Okay. And as physically represented by you. So you're the magic. You know that you're the medicine.
Amen.
We're the medicine. You're the
Amen.
magic. So each of the four elements holds a sacred number of 11, and its alignment, balance, and synchronicity cards as they're basically the energetic influence. Okay, and so you're the
And that's
divine
my birthday,
consciousness.
the
Really?
11th.
Oh my God! Look at that.
So that, yeah.
So it's an extension of spirit. So we're gonna. I'm putting this in the hands and of your spirit. So we're gonna be reading the card that is meant to be your oracle, your message for the divine today. And we're going to take that here. Let's see how many cards you want to pull. You want to do let's just do one message. How does that sound?
That sounds
Sounds
good.
good. Okay, so tell me when to stop.
Okay, stop.
Okay. The top, bottom, middle. Where do you want me to pull it
Middle.
from? This one, okay? Which one? One. Okay, one on top. Oh my God. This card is gorgeous. Let me show you.
Okay.
It is the great goddess, transcendence, divinity. Wow. So want me to read it to you? So this is
Yes, please.
so okay, and then you're gonna tell me what your message was. Do you wanna share the message? Like your what you were calling to? What was your intention?
My intention was improved health and mind.
Okay, so how are you going to improve your health and mind? The great goddess will tell. Transcendence, divinity, yin, Shakti, the feminine. So it basically says, I am empowered and awakened by the great goddess within. Okay, so spirit, the universal mother, queen of the cosmos, she who is and she who gives eternal life, but who can also take it away. She who at will could create or demolish Earth if provoked, destroying without hesitation all she has created, a supreme being of the most powerful feminine essence. Many have tried to travel her depths to the place of the soul, but many have failed to make it to the place so full of everything you can hardly fathom any of it. It is total light and total dark, the harmonization of the forces of good and evil, a place where it is understood that the universe is as it should be. The evolution of our collective conscious is right on cue. Notice the floating crystals path leading you to her and to her soul. It's a beautiful but deadly, slippery, transparent, and movable. Observe the skeletons of those who fell, deemed unworthy, incapable of understanding the truth she offers. The price you pay is letting go of what you are comfortable knowing. Releasing the illusions that once brought you ignorance is bliss. Only the soul who accepts her as she is can make it to ascension. The one who can accept both of the beauty and the ugliness within her. Only then will they have total transcendence of the soul, a higher awakening and activation of their power. There is potential for growth and prosperity if they can make it past their own limitation and worldly illusions. A peaceful valley is just beyond the barren descent. Pulling the Great Goddess card can be a sign that it's time to transcend your limitations and transmute them into power. Oh my God, I'm looking at your face right now. You have the strength and intelligence it takes to do this, finding the harmony of both dark and light in your life, actualizing it and honoring them both. You cannot have only one. This card has energy of divinity. There is something you are resisting, blocking with fear and limiting with complacency. You're a powerful point, and the goddess strength is within you. Call upon her. What do you think of that?
That
I mean, I
card,
started psychoanalyzing, but tell me what you think.
I think that card just told me all the way about myself, checked me, held up the mirror. Man, okay.
It's about your shadow, right? Because like your question was what? How can I improve my health? Like what should I be doing?
My health and my
My health,
mind,
my mind,
I
and who and the shadow is us, right? We're all made of good and bad. There's no one or
yeah.
the other without the other.
Yeah, and I, to be perfectly honest, like shadow work, inner child work is something that I have had interest in, but I also know that even the themes that like I'm cognizant of, from my childhood and like upbringing, I know that that's going to be some very exhausting and intentional work, which is part of the reason I haven't started. But I also feel like there was a lot of truth in that card about things that come up for most of us, especially as women, second guessing, the
Second
imposter
guessing.
syndrome, feeling like you need a clear definition, a clear delineation before you make a move. And me also saying for the longest time, all right, I'm working it. Like, no, like, okay, anxiety is a lie. We're going to do it anxious. We're going to do it scared. But also recognizing how much energy that takes. And it's like, do I want to not sacrifice, but do I want to willingly choose to give up this energy in that way? Or am I
Right.
going to make it up, or am I just going to let it go and what that looks like? So I feel like that card speaks to a lot of that. And especially now where We're recording this in the end of the year. So it's like,
Yep.
oh, that end of the year recap and
That
setting
shift.
intentions, for the new year. So I right on time.
Right on time. And you're actually, you talked about so many things, and one of the things you mentioned is that anxiety, that fear. So since the book dropped till now, I know that you've become an entrepreneur, like a podcaster. You're starting a group practice. You're doing all these amazing things. And I know for a fact that there is no way that you're doing this without that fear, because I am still scared.
No, not no, that fear keeps me company.
Right. And it's okay to acknowledge that we have it, because fear is not a bad thing.
Thing. Yeah, it's
It's
true.
not a bad thing. You're not supposed to be completely fearless. You can act fearless, but you can hold on to that fear, because fear can ignite. It can
Yeah.
ignite, it can create a fire underneath your feet, as long as you don't freeze, right? Because think of all the trauma responses that we have. We have that flight, freeze, fawn,
Fawn. Yeah.
which what you fawn,
Fight,
right?
flight, freeze, and fawn. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that, if you're freezing for a second, who do you go to help you push you? It's us. Like, we all like
Yeah.
push each other, right? We're like, wait, okay. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. What am I doing? Like, and now all of a sudden we have this collective that just kind of pushes us through. So what have you been doing since then, now that we're going to this place now? Like, tell us what you've been up to.
Our volume came out in the fall of 2021. And even though I was completely overwhelmed and amazed at like our virtual launch, I was just like, wow, like this is something that's out in the world, and I knew that it was gonna have an impact. Receiving messages like on Instagram and like even an email, because one of the things I really liked about how you thank you. But the team, I'll say the team, came to put like, our general contact information, like after our chapter, like people reached out. And at first I was like, this is weird. Because like there are people who I've never met before who know things about my life. But in contrast, I'm like, oh, well, I'm on social media. I don't post a lot. Like I post like silly, funny things. Clearly, of course, things about mental health. But here in my chapter is me talking about things that happened like in my childhood, that things that like I really struggled with. And I cried through writing that chapter. You helped coach me through it. But also recognizing that part of the reason I even came into this profession was because like I didn't have people when those things were going on in elementary school that I felt like I could talk to. Like my language may not have been as robust as it is now, and I could have found a way to communicate it, but I didn't have anyone to communicate it to. And now we live in a time in this lifetime where even though social media can be a devil and so can the
It can
internet,
hurt,
it can
right?
also be such a positive and connecting tool. And for someone like me who really enjoys community, knowing that someone can say, hey, I read your chapter in this book, or I read this book, or and this really spoke to me, like it blew my mind. And that just continues. Like it and volume two continues. And I'm sure when volume three drops, it will continue.
Yeah.
And most impactful for me is the students. I had a student reach out to me. I want to say it was in the summer, and she was coming to visit a relative or something that lived not in the boroughs, but in I want to say Westchester County. And she's like, I know that you're probably like super busy, but like, could we just like meet like for a conversation? And I was just like, wow, like what it must take to reach out to somebody you've never met before and be like, well, I know you're in the area. Like, would it be okay? Unfortunately, we couldn't coordinate, but I responded back like saying, I have to commend you because 23-year-old Paula would never, like, would never. And then someone who you feel like you connected with based on an experience, like I think it was something along the statement that I made where my mom reminded me, like, oh, the only thing I'm responsible to do is like go to school and get an education. Like that's your job. And so many
So,
parents have said that. And that's something that resonated with her.
So, did you get to meet her?
I didn't get to meet her in person.
Okay.
We did
Okay.
meet over
So,
Zoom.
intention for year 2024. You're gonna bring her to our next event.
I think I can finesse that.
Just bring her in and say, I want to personally invite you. Let's meet in person. This is what we're doing. I want you to come as my guest because she is looking at you as a madrina, as a mentor, as a person that's like, wow, someone spoke to me. Like someone like spoke to my experience. And let me tell you, this has happened to so many of us. And it still continues to happen. The book still continues to sell, by the way. I'm still getting orders from volume one, English and Spanish. I'm still getting those orders. It is still selling. I know when volume two dropped, like, you know, volume one was like, damn, they had an in-person event. They're like, now what do
We
we
got it.
chopped
Like, we got
liver?
what
And I was like,
happened.
no, you guys are the OGs. We had an in-person event at NYU. We had a beautiful conference. We're going to have another one with volume one and volume two authors all together very soon in 2024. So stay tuned for that. But I think what happens is that we changed like the system in a way, you know, because social work was about being a blank slate and no one knowing about us as social workers, as therapists, as clinicians, as people that are engaged in community. But now our own clients are reading our stories and they're like, oh, I like you. I want to come to you. You get me. And we didn't have to share our personal narratives like in the space. It's about them because they're like, right?
And I think, it brings me back to when I was sitting down to write the chapter, because it's like, yes, potential clients could read this. And at the time, I just had my coaching practice. So that it looks different. And then, for therapists who actually give a shit and they want to make sure that, they're protecting their license and things of that nature, you have to do, certain types of research. But at that time, I hadn't made up my mind about opening a group practice. Like, I had a few solo clients. But then I was really thinking about it, and I read the chapter over, and I'm like, there isn't anything in this book that I would take issue with a potential client or a client knowing, especially if I didn't take issue with any other person reading it. And knowing full well that many of us in communities of color in any mental health profession or even health professions really struggle with how to effectively utilize self-disclosure with the people that we work with, because yes, it is not about us. But we also know that we connect through storytelling, we connect through traditions, we connect through commonality. So how do we take that and utilize it authentically? And I think this book does a really good job of it, because just like you said, like, we knew each other in professional capacities. Like, you're like, oh, New York City's so big. Like, eventually you're gonna know every social worker. Like, I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. But like, you stay in the community long enough, you do get to know people. But like, I know you all deeply because of the book, or rather more deep. And then I feel like that has expanded both the personal and professional. So thinking about when, and I graduated from Adelphi in 2011, I had no idea about mentorship. Like, I knew the construct of it, but what that looked like in the social work space was not something that I could fathom. I damn sure couldn't fathom finding somebody that looked like me or you. So to even have that at the time person reach out or email, or even I was presenting at a conference in March, and in the conference, someone asked me to be their mentor. Just met me in the presentation. She's a wonderful now school social worker in South Carolina. But one of the things, similarly to the other one in the email, I was like, I have to give you like a round of applause. You stood up in front of people you don't even know. It was like, I want you to mentor me. I could, like, I could.
And it's an honor. I was
Yeah.
watching
And I
Oprah.
was
Let me tell you,
overwhelmed.
I was overwhelmed. It's a true story. I was overwhelmed. And it's true. It's like, but you could acknowledge that. You can say that's like, listen, I'm overwhelmed right now, but just
We're gonna
whenever
make it
you
happen.
can
And we
show
did.
up, we'll make it happen. You know, Oprah was on Shelly. I think it's the Shelly show. I think that's what it
Or
is.
Sherry.
Sherry, I love her. Yes, Oprah
Yeah,
was on the
Sherry's a
Sherry show.
trip.
She is so cute. And I would just kind of caught it yesterday and I shared it in the story because Oprah said that she was, Sherry said, so wait, does that, she just basically had Oprah on her show And she couldn't believe it because Oprah was like her go-to, like, oh my God, this is, I want to
Yeah.
be this. Like when she was 23, she was at like one of the Oprah shows in Chicago, and she just couldn't believe that Oprah was sitting at her show and that she had her own show. But Oprah was like, no, let's just acknowledge the fact that you have your own
I'm
show.
sure.
Let's just kind of pause for a minute and just take a look at the audience. They're here because this is your show. And I'm here sitting in your show. Let's acknowledge that. And she brought it back to the center and she's like, you did this. You did this today. And Sherry's like, well, that's because I had someone to look at to pave the way
Yeah.
that did it before me. And it was that most pivotal moment because Sherry's like, that means that you're passing the baton. And she's like, yes. And I'll blast it again on stories because you guys will get it because we're passing the baton.
Yeah.
So you've been passing the baton through your storytelling. So I'm so excited for people to continue to see your incredibleness, your brilliance. So keep passing that baton. I know it's not easy. I know we've had a lot of things happen to us since then, right? Since then and now, all the challenges that have gotten you to this place of you're badass. And your podcast,
Yeah.
tell everyone about your podcast and how they can listen to it. Tell them.
Okay, so the title that Erica mentioned is called "Why Don't We Talk About This?" And it started because, and I'm probably going to share a little bit about this in a bit, but it started because I was at a point where I couldn't work, like physically or mentally, and I'm just like, I have all of this in my head, and it has nowhere to go. We're not talking about things, and I get into conversations and in my personal life and professional life, and I'm like, why isn't this a thing? Like, why aren't we talking about this? Like,
Oh,
when
because of
people talk
the
about
ADHD?
things,
Is it because of
yeah,
the
well,
ADHD
that
symptoms?
was a part of it.
Okay.
But it's just like, I know people are talking, like I've heard it, like I've participated. And I kind of felt like, all right, yes, everybody, and this is where that fear and anxiety came in. I'm like, everybody has a podcast. Ain't nobody gonna want to listen to what I have to say. But then I also recognize like it's not just about me because I'm fortunate that I'm also getting a great deal from the conversations that I have. So even though in a lot of ways it is a social work podcast, it's not just social workers and mental health professionals when we talk about topics that run the gamut from parenting. Like we had a service member who was deployed and having to navigate a challenging relationship with the mother of his child. When your children leave home, like they went away to college. That's the first time they have not been
Yeah.
in your home. I mentioned briefly, that episode about intuition. We've had
Love
talks
that.
about suicide. We've had talks about your episode. We both talked about our ADHD. I had my husband on, like being in a relationship with a mental health professional. Like that's a
Yeah.
whole
It's
different
deep.
beast to him.
Does he tell you not to psychoanalyze him?
Yeah. Oh, and then don't therapize. And I'm like, but I went
Don't
to school here.
therapize.
And he's like, yeah, but like your language is different because I'm fortunate. We've known each other since we were in high school. So I'm like, you gonna really tell me that I didn't used to ask you questions like this? He's like, yeah, but like the words you use now. And I'm just like, shut
Oh.
up. But and oddly enough, that episode was challenging for me because it's just like I'm used to talking to him all the time.
It's
And yes,
shadow
I do
work.
share,
You just
but
shadowed
then
right
I
there.
did ask you.
Because he provided like that mirror to just kind of like see yourself differently, you know,
Yeah.
like it's that shadow. And then you should journal because that's great. After you kind of just see parts of you, journal so you can
Yeah,
explore it
that's a
with
good
yourself.
idea. Yeah. And it's just like, wow, like this is different than talking to a guest. And I think it's good too, because as and similar to you as a host, individuals get to know you in different ways depending on who you're speaking to. And it's not just because you have a relationship, you don't have a relationship, but there's something that about language and storytelling that opens up like little windows in our souls and our heads that like we don't know about. And I really like that. Like I always say, and I make fun of it, I'm like, oh, like I'm really excited to talk to this person. Like I really am. Every time I record, I'm excited. And
I
every time I
love it.
record, I get away, I get something. So I have a really good time doing it. And we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much everywhere you get your podcast. I know Google Podcasts is like moving, I'm figuring that
That's
out. But
nice.
every major location for podcasts we are on. try to keep episodes under an hour, but sometimes
Yeah.
it's like it's just good conversation.
Yes.
And it really helped me in the beginning stages, after my car accident. It really helped me manage some of the depression that I was feeling and some of the grief, because we don't always recognize that grief isn't 100% always associated with death. Yes, loss, but the nuance of that can look different to different people. And that helped me a great deal, because it's just like, okay, yes, I have things to offer. I can't offer them the way that I used to because of how I was working then, but I can find another way that also kind of like speaks to me and heals me in a way, because I'm still a people person. I still like talking to people. I still like learning, building a network, and not for the sake of building a network, but it's like, oh, now we've been connected. Like, I can suggest something to you and vice versa, and get to meet people all over the country
I
internationally, which has
know,
been
that's
cool.
amazing. Isn't it cool? You've had some
Yeah.
really amazing guests.
I
That's
appreciate
amazing.
that.
So
You
what's so, thank you.
too.
So I'm having one right now. Look at you. See, just shine it right back at you, girl. Shining it right back at
I
you.
receive it. Thank you.
Amazing. So, what's to come for this year for you? What is happening? Tell us what to look out for. So, you have your podcast. Anything else you want to kind of drop since then?
So, like you mentioned, I did open a group practice, which has been a bit of a learning curve. But we're like full on live as of January. Like, our website's up. We have I have two amazing clinicians and an intern who I have a previous relationship with, which I thought would be an amazing fit. So I'm really excited about that.
Congrats.
Thank you very
Love
much. On the coaching side, since I have streamlined that work to focus primarily on a combination of mindset and systems and workflow, primarily with school counselors and social workers, because I was a school social worker for over 8 years. But part of the reason for that is in New York City and in many other states, counties, and whatever have you, there isn't historically a number of school social workers or a number of school counselors, especially ones in schools or districts that have appropriate support and supervision. Because in schools, the biggest focus is academic. So that's where a lot of the administration likes to focus their efforts. So new and emerging school social workers and school counselors don't necessarily get what they need. They don't have a system in which to do their work, and they're trying to figure it out as they go. And that's also how we lose people. That's how we lose people in communities of color who historically don't have people that look like them. That is how we lose people who are really committed to this work. They are looking at things through a culturally sensitive lens. Even if they don't look like their community members, they are actively doing the work, and they're being met with some resistance. And a lot of it is just through lack of education. So a lot of what I used to do in that role is this work. So I'm just like, why isn't this a thing I'm doing? So that's what I have been coaching on. But I also recognize that we need to do a little bit more. So I am actually starting a membership in 2024 that will be affordable to all, to get all the basics, even
No
with, you know, a
way.
Q&A with me monthly. And if you
No.
should so choose to invest in additional services to hone, but I wanted to create something that had access for everyone, no matter where you live, no matter who you work for, because things are expensive. So it's like,
I
what can we
love
do?
it. That is so amazing. So you're going to establish a membership group for school social workers to come and connect with you on a monthly basis in order to also find their community and their collective
Yeah.
and
Get some
have all and
resources,
resources and
connect. Yeah.
connections. Yes, girl, I love it all. This is amazing. Well, you know you have to count on us to promote it and share with the world. So, because this is the way we build, like it's
Yeah.
community building, it's coalition building, it's really supporting our communities, especially our social workers that are out there doing the incredible work with lack of resources and lack of community. So, Paula, I am so excited that 2024 is coming in hot for you, like Catalani says. You know, we got to use that.
Yeah, I love
Coming in
her
hot.
lady.
I love that girl. She's also started a membership.
Yeah.
Or listen, all of us are doing incredible things and we're shouting each other out. Madeline with her clinic. We refer to her, Eureka. Like, there's so many incredible people that are doing amazing things. And this is what it's about. Our community needs more of us that are culturally humble and open and willing to just support our community. But we also need the support. We need the support. Us as social workers of color need the support, need the resources, need to know where to go to help us continue to keep moving forward. So you're doing that for so many people. I'm so proud of you. I'm so
Well,
proud of
thank
you.
you. And
Me
I'm
too.
proud of you too, because I don't not necessarily know that these things would have happened this way had I not been involved with this group. Had I not like met you as a human being, as opposed to, oh yeah, Erica, that at the time was the NASW president. Like, that's who I knew you as. And I knew other people that knew you, but that was the extent of the relationship. Now I could like go on my phone and text you when I want.
Of
Perfect
course.
example, Cindy, Dr. Cindy Bautista
Oh,
Thomas.
love her, right?
The fact that I have her number in my phone
It's
still blows
kind of
my
it's
mind.
dope, right? It's like, and now we're like, because we used to respect each other from afar, right? We were like, oh, who's this person? She's kind of dope. And now we're like, that's my girl. I
Like,
love
I could
it.
call her right
Yes, exactly. And so you know what? We hope that you continue to flourish and continue to do these amazing things. But one, don't forget, good and evil is always in us.
now.
Take care of you. Look at your shadow work. Make sure you know what you're bringing to the table that's going to help you continue to heal and better yourself and continue to do these amazing things, because you are your own medicine, my love. You are, and you are the medicine for so many people just with the work you're doing. So
I
thank you so
really
much for
appreciate
being
that.
here. You're welcome. Thank you. How can people follow you? How can people connect? Last minute shout out. Tell us how they can
Ooh.
find you.
Well, me as a human being, as a person, progress with Paula at rather on Instagram. For those of you who might be interested in some of like the strategy and coaching work that I'm doing with school counselors and school social workers, also on Instagram, personalize your coaching. And my therapy practice, where we focus on ADHD, anxiety, autism, women's health, identity, and disordered eating, is at Personalize Your Therapy. So that's pretty. Oh, and the podcast, how could I forget? Why Don't We Talk About This Pod, also on Instagram, but that can be found and subscribed to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Amazing. You heard it here, Paul. Make sure you follow, make sure you subscribe, make sure you listen to the podcast, and stay tuned for that membership work that's being dropped. 2024 is going to be so amazing. Many more resources for all of us. So thanks so much for being here. May you have an
Anytime.
incredible, incredible year full of love, light, and healing energy.
Thanks for tuning in to the Latinx and Social Work Podcast. This show is a labor of love where we hope these conversations will not only provide resources, but will help heal, lead, and inspire our communities and let them know that they're not alone. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to leave a review and comment on iTunes or Spotify, letting us know what you think. And if you're interested, purchase our award-winning books, Latinx, Latinx, and Social Work, Stories That Heal, Inspire, and Connect Communities, on our website, www.latinxandsocialwork.com. Lastly, be sure to follow us on social media at Latinx and Social Work. Till next time.